The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 314, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. Sure is. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into American shared consciousness, and it is Wednesday, November 22nd, 2023. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Come and Hop on Our Pod. Come and hop on our pod. We've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you. Where the takes are all hot and fresh and new. Daily Zeitgeist for you. Well, that is courtesy of Elise with the Hot Takes, who says, because the Three's Company theme has been stuck in my head for days, she's gonna spread that mind virus to the rest of us. Anyways, thank you, Elise. Great, aka. And I'm thrilled to be joined in our second seat by one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmoor, a hilarious and brilliant producer and TV writer. You know him from the Yo Is This Racist podcast. It's Andrew T.
And aka Andrew T-1000. This is the album New Blue Sun. I'm in Atlanta right now, so it's on my mind.
Andrew T-1000.
It doesn't. Yes. It kind of doesn't make sense, but it
not
sort
really
of makes a little sense.
Yes, I love it. Have you been listening?
I did the other night, actually, but it was
I really
one.
Love it. I it was a love it.
It was a very passive listen.
Yes.
So
which is, it's meant to be listened to passively.
Yeah.
I just did my second listen today and really loved it. I was like, oh, these are getting better.
Yeah. So here's the thing with me is that like I put it on when I had some folks over for dinner a couple days ago, and I put it on, but I like, you know, once Spotify got to the end, it just continues playing other flute, you know, like similar
other
music.
Flute music. Yeah.
So I just didn't realize when it started and when it began. So I could not tell you if I like it or I liked some.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
or you liked some
other thing.
Like a middle school flute recital.
I liked what the algorithm generated off of it. Like the whole experience over a few hours was very good. So I assume I like it.
There you go.
I programmatically like it. Yes.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third and fourth. Seats.
What?
Yes, it's one of those.
The studio is cramped.
Look, the studio is crammed. It's sweaty. We're all just elbow to elbow in here. They're the hosts of the podcast Celebrity Book Club. There are times when I'm doing research for the guest and I start listening to their podcast or their stand-up special and I can't stop. And that's what happened to me this morning. So good news, bad news. Good news, great guests. Bad news, my takes in the news section are going to be really half-baked because I spent the morning listening to their Britney Spears episode. Please welcome Stephen Phillips Horst and Lily Morata!
Hello!
What's up, guys?
Wow, you flatter.
Yeah, you
the
really
show's so
do.
So good. It's
Thank
so
you
fun.
So much.
Oh
we
my
try.
God, I'm a listener now.
Yeah, join the club. Join the hundreds of people who listen to our podcast every week.
It's so fun. I learned so much about Britney. Not that, yeah, it was just you guys are really fun to listen to talk about Britney. And I feel like there's always people who read celebrity books and like celebrity autobiographies, like always come away with great stories. So I'm looking forward to kind of digging in.
These are the stories we need to tell our grandchildren. That's why we do it, just to, you know, keep the generations informed. Yes.
You know, little giant's gonna be on my knees. We say, Daddy, or I guess granddaddy, tell me more about that bestseller from 2023. I'll be like, well, gather around, children.
Yeah. And it's not always like the big zeitgeist. Like your most recent episode, I guess, is the Nancy Kerrigan.
We like to switch it up. You know, when everyone zigs, we like to zag. But sometimes have to zig when everyone else is zigging. Otherwise, you know, what are you doing?
You know, she used to be a zeitgeist person. But we like to, you know, bring former zeitgeist people
back into the geist for a second.
Yeah.
Re-geist them.
That's right. Re-geist.
Yeah.
And the good news is this week, the media tries to make it so that no news happens on purpose this week, I guess. They really like clear the decks so the people at TMZ can be home with their families or whatever. I do still remember Tiger Woods getting, like, didn't he have a thing over Thanksgiving holiday where he like got caught drunk driving or like back?
Was that the big Tiger crash?
It was like
crash?
It was the first one where it was like, oh, Tiger Woods gets drunk, and he was like blacked out, and the like, I don't know. There was something with a car and him like passing out and getting hit in the head with something.
Yeah, no, it's I think his wife hit him with a golf
car.
Club?
With a golf club, yes.
With a golf club, because she found out he cheated.
And of course, I mean, it's what's lying around the house. Like, what are you going to hit Tiger Woods with?
That's right. It's just
a bat? Like, that'd be crazy.
They were eating their Thanksgiving dinner with, was just various golf clubs. That's what they use at the table. And then, of course, the JFK assassination, which was the Tiger Woods getting hit with a golf club of a previous generation. You know, everybody remembers where they were. But, all right. Well, we're going to get to know you guys a little bit better.
My mom
gets to know you guys.
Yeah.
You know,
I will say my mom's obsessed with telling this story about how she remembers where she was when JFK was assassinated. She always says, and the nuns wheeled in the televisions. and you know, they all watched Walter Cronkite or whatever. But that would sort of suggest that they weren't all gathered around the turkey table.
It was a week before, so it was the Thursday before Thanksgiving, but the anniversary is tomorrow. So I guess this is a very early Thanksgiving.
What is time?
What is time really in the end?
That's right.
But yeah, it was so Thanksgiving that year was the 28th.
Oh, that's a late ass Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Late giving.
That you see what happens when you have a late Thanksgiving like that? People get cranky.
People die.
Yeah, people die.
People get cranky and presidents get killed. So anyways, we're going to talk about that because it is the anniversary of the JFK assassination. And you know I love talking JFK assassination. We're gonna take a look at the strange world of JFK assassination tourism. We might talk about X suing Media Matters for doing a story on them, just like reporting the facts about how many Nazis there are. All of that, plenty more. But before we get to any of it, we do like to ask our guests, Stephen, Lily, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh,
wow. That's okay. Really
okay.
Going deep.
Take me out to dinner first.
Yeah. I don't know if this accounts as search history, but I went down a Wikipedia hole last night while I was trying to fall asleep.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll allow it.
I don't know how this happened, but it was like 3 a.m. and my boyfriend, that's right. My boyfriend was asleep next to me. And, you know, he's snoring away and I was playing solitaire. It wasn't really working. I was like, what's going to calm down this crazy brain of mine? You know, what's going to just.
Too many thoughts.
I ended up on the Wikipedia page for K2, the second highest mountain in the world. I don't know if y'all are familiar.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think there's a movie called K2, right?
There's a ski brand called K2. So why wouldn't there be a movie?
Okay. I thought it was a ski brand. I had no idea it was a mountain.
Wake up, Lily.
My favorite movie, Burton. I love that movie.
My favorite movie, Volcom, Burton, and Vans.
Yeah.
If there was an Oakley movie, I would watch.
Hell yeah. Wraparound Shades. Yeah. The film franchise based around the Wraparound Shades.
Oh my
Shades.
God. There's no
that
way.
That would be like Oscar winner.
Yeah. That's a pure Oscar bait.
They could Oakley. Have that scene. Do you remember, Lily? So like, not to sort of like plug our podcast, but when we read Andre Agassi's book, he has a little anecdote he shares where at one point Oakley was one of his sponsors. And just as a congrats for him winning some tournament, they drove, a truck arrives at his huge house and unloads off the truck as a Dodge Viper, brand new Dodge Viper.
Wow.
They were just like
the Oakley of cars.
Yeah.
Truly. Literally. Like I think it's wearing Oakley's, maybe.
It's a wraparound car. it's very horizontal and like curvy.
Yeah. Maybe anyway. They were like designed by the same person. By the way, there is a film, 1991's K2, The Ultimate High.
Oh.
That's what it says underneath it. Yeah.
Anyway, it's The Ultimate High because it's quite dangerous.
Yes.
And, you know,
that's what I hear.
You know, everyone and their mom summits Everest like every day. You know, there's practically, yeah. Once you get to the top, there's like a line to take your selfie and then you're on your way back down. But K2, it's insanely dangerous. Only 100 people have done it, like, or a couple hundred in the history of, you know, time. And there was this one, you know, horrible disaster in 2008 where I guess 11 people died over the course of 2 days. And I was just reading this harrowing story on Wikipedia. Sometimes the reportage on Wikipedia is really quite breathtaking. Like, it's, you know, it's written like a really exciting novel or something.
Well, it's written by the most passionate hobbyist on Earth, almost always, right?
Yeah. You go, if you're editing a Wikipedia page, you care.
You give a shit.
Yeah. And so you're seeing that sort of like beautiful nerdy dedication to a subject. But it was just really harrowing. And you know, there's all these like avalanches and ice falling and people like tripping over wires and finding each other's bodies and then slipping and then dying. And then it's, you know, 0 degrees and everyone's freezing to death. And it just really made me not want to climb.
I also assume this didn't make you fall asleep. This would make me like stay up fearing being caught in an avalanche.
Here's what was weird. It was just so calming. And maybe it was reading about cold, you know, that kind of just lowers the heart rate.
Brr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think for some reason I found it calming. And I wonder if it's reading about cold, you know, kind of lowers your internal. While warm in bed, kind of like lowers your internal temperature and like slows down, you know, your whole system.
That's a great.
There might be a psychosomatic connection there. And that's my hot, or should I say cold take.
Damn, yes.
Of the day.
Wow.
Burr. Lily, what is something from your search history?
So, you know, I saw the email and I said, let's take a look. And I think this truly does reveal my personality. It was just so many searches on a guy my friend went on 2 dates with, where I'm just like looking at his Twitter feed, like looking at random photos, like an interview with him from like 2003. So, yeah, I think
wow,
I spent
2003.
So this is like an old guy.
He's a little bit, maybe 03 is a little far. I'm actually changing dates because I love privacy.
It was for his middle.
I want to give the gossip, but I don't want to give this man's full age. But yeah, I'll go deep on a random man. I don't know if
on a
you
random,
tell me you're going to go on one date with him.
And does your friend know that you're doing the deep dive? Is this like something you'll report back?
Yeah, she was like, this is his full name. So she was giving me the deets. So and
just
I was
just like
kind
the
of
last 4 digits of his social about the whole thing.
Yeah. So now I have, you know, cut to me like I'm on ancestry.com. I'm trying to figure out if I'm related to him. Like
right. Here's his PlayStation username, and then this is, I believe, a burner account. So you can search that.
Oh, I think he posted this on Reddit on his burner account.
Interesting. What is something that you guys think is underrated?
Underrated.
Underrated. That's rare. What is underrated? I mean, I just started watching Will and Grace again from like season one, but I don't feel like it's underrated.
I don't it's think kind it's of a, underrated.
It's a pretty popular, successful
pretty highly
show.
Rated show.
It was like, yeah.
You can start with overrated if we want to work up to the underrated.
Okay, I have one for It's kind of a, I guess this is underrated and kind of a mix. I do think my underrated, even though it's a really popular fast food chain of Popeyes, but I do think what's overrated is really like different expensive types of fried chicken, where I'm just like, I don't know how much better you can get for, you know, this $34 at a fancy restaurant. Is it going to be better than Popeyes?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They've kind of nailed it, haven't they?
And the whole point of fried chicken is that it's like supposed to be the cheap. It's cheap. It's like, right. Why make it nicer than it is?
I do think, okay, I like the Popeyes, and it's so buttery and there's a flakiness to skin that's really exciting. When I start getting into the bone territory on a Popeyes, I feel like I start to see the quality deteriorate, and those bones do make me a little uncomfortable. And I think they can be brittle. They can be colors that don't feel super health forward. And when I'm looking at a more
to quote the Maren Morris song, if the bones are good.
Right.
So you're saying if the bones are
I'm
not good.
I'm saying that the bones aren't so good. And it's kind of like, wow. It's one of those things where, you know how you can feed like raw chicken to a dog and it can eat it bones and all? Like, I don't know if the raw chicken they're using at Popeyes is totally like doggable. I worry about those bones breaking and hurting my dog's trachea. Not that I would ever own a dog. That's what's overrated, in my opinion, is dogs.
You got there.
Dog ownership.
Thank you.
Yeah. There you go. That was the journey. Yeah. So do you want a sturdy bone in your fried chicken? Or are you saying
when I get to the bone, I want like a gorgeous piece of porcelain under there. Like
you want a gorgeous gleaming.
Yeah.
Like, kind of. Yes. Bone colored bone.
I want a bone colored bone. Some sort of alabaster sculpture that I could mount on the wall.
Right.
You want like a cartoon bone, like the monk, and it's like a perfect skeleton.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be like such a massive femur, but
it sounds very Looney Tunes. Pull it out of his mouth with two hands. How clean are your bones when you're done with fried chicken, by the way?
I would say with wings, I'm cleaning them hard.
I take great, great pride in the cleanliness of my bones, that it's just bone, no grizzle.
Hell yeah.
After a lifetime growing up as a white American, where I was leaving so much grizzle on the bone, and then my wife was like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
This is allyship right here. This is amazing.
She was like, "This is, and I can't let you continue on like this." And now we have clean bones, and I take great pride.
And that's definitely what marriage does.
Yeah,
that's right. Makes you a better person.
That also feels like a dating, like, you know, 20 signs, like, you know, a guy is going to be good in bed. They're like, go up for wings. Like, if he eats the whole wing, like, you know, like, he knows how to go down. Yes, ladies.
Yes, ladies. He knows how to please a woman.
My friend married a white guy, and she was sending us pictures of his plates from their honeymoon, complaining about how he didn't clean various meats off of various bones.
Wow.
And it could not have been a worse sign. I've never seen
from the
more
honeymoon.
Oh, they're not making it.
Literally from Hawaii. It was amazing.
Sounds like he wasn't eating the chicken or her. Are they still?
I assume
they're divorced.
They're together for now, but
okay. Keep us updated.
Yeah,
we're keeping our eye on them. Yeah.
I'm just going to post a picture from the honeymoon when it all goes bad and just say, we all knew this was going to go down.
Right.
We could tell from the jump.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'll appreciate that.
Yeah.
They use it like in divorce court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's getting everything. Are you kidding?
I would say I'm probably definitely more in the white stereotype of not getting all to the gristle, you know? I feel like I get the good parts, but then I also might, like, you know, hand the rest of it to a friend, you know, to a hungry friend.
That's right.
Or a boyfriend.
I'm not above it.
I guess being the hungry friend. You're so
when I'm around, I'll clean. I went to one of those Japanese joints where they give you the whole shrimp, and the shrimp heads were like grilled hard enough, and they brought a bowl for the shrimp heads, and I was like, no, we don't need that shit. We're eating the heads. We're all Asian people here. And all of my friends sold me out. They're like, actually, I don't really. So I had to eat like 9 shrimp heads. I thought I was going to have like anaphylactic shock. It was not good.
Yeah, you were like, yeah, literally, like, we are not pussies. Like, we can do this. And they're like, yeah. Oh, I would take the bowl. And you're like, okay.
That's crazy. I love shrimp heads. I love eating head on shrimp. Even when you're, like, not supposed to. I'll eat the whole damn head.
Yes.
With all the little antenna and the eyes and everything.
They're so good.
Makes you smarter.
Yes. As smart as a shrimp. That's what we say around these parts. Just trying to be as smart as any given shrimp.
You need their brain food.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you guys for bearing with me during some audio, some glitchiness.
Jack, don't tell them. They don't know. It sounds perfect from them.
Well, just in case people can sense the strain in my voice, it's not your fault.
That's right.
And I swear this never happens. Anyways, all right. X is suing Media Matters for pointing out their obvious Nazi problem. So, you know, Media Matters did an analysis that showed how ads from big brands were popping up next to pro-Nazi posts. And it's like they're not subtle. The pro-Nazi posts have gotten very unsubtle. Have you guys noticed that? They're like, what enlightenment looks like, what people think spiritual awakening is like versus what it's actually like. And it's like somebody doing yoga versus just like a picture of Hitler and like Hitler guys like and like brown shirts. They're like, that's your real spiritual enlightenment. But anyways, that is right next to an Apple, right next to an Apple ad, which feel like Apple can't be thrilled about. So, you know, Media Matters reported they'd found at least five major brands with ads next to posts that tout Hitler and his Nazi party on X. We're touting Hitler. But Apple and IBM paused their ad spending on X, as did companies like Disney, Paramount, Warner Brothers, Discovery, probably not just because of the Media Matters article, and probably also because Elon Musk's most recent posts have accused Jewish communities of pushing hatred against whites. So, you know, just reminding everyone what real anti-Semitism looks like. He's gone hard on that stuff.
Yeah. It's really like, you just assumed Twitter used to be like the worst people on earth. And it is actually truly amazing to see what actually the worst people can be.
Yeah.
It's coming strong.
We thought it was like the worst it could be. And there, it turns out there was like 1,000 people behind the scenes, just like working day and night to keep it as good as it was. And they just fired all those people. So yeah, this is now just a flood of garbage juice that, you know, they were fighting their hardest to hold back.
I'm curious as to who has ever clicked on an ad on Twitter ever. I'm a little like, what, has that ever proved useful for any company to advertise on Twitter? Have you ever purchased something from an ad you saw on Twitter at any point in Twitter's history?
That's the only way I get anything, is I just clicking through Twitter ads and banner ads is how I find out about all my stuff and all the free.
I am the spam bot that's like accidentally being like, actually, yeah, I will click on this Pizza Hut ad to find out iPads. About stuffed crust. And then, like, instantly, I'm from a message board
from Twitter. From Twitter.
Look, there was one time. This is just, it only happened once. I was intrigued what they were selling with their D, quote unquote, and this is an overrated Detroit style pizza.
Yeah.
And I was just curious what they were talking about, and yeah, so I clicked. Okay.
The pizza?
No. I just learned about it.
So the conversion rate on that is zero.
Still low.
Anecdotally right now.
It's still, though, like, learning about new fast food has to be one of Twitter's remaining uses. They're putting, you know, they're making hamburgers at Del Taco for some reason.
Yeah.
I guess I'm compelled to try it.
But then aren't you seeing that? Like, isn't that like just some sort of viral video that you're seeing that's like a screen grab or some ad that someone else is posting and you're seeing it on Twitter versus like you're seeing a sponsored post for it?
Because like that kind of for it.
Yeah, like that kind of advertising, you know, it's like, you know, I learn about a lot of television shows and movies that people are talking about because people are talking about them on Twitter. That, you know, that's advertising for Netflix or whatever it is. Like, that's not gonna go away.
Right.
And I think that's still probably what these companies find most valuable at Twitter versus, you know, this ad for T-Mobile that no one's clicking on.
Well,
or maybe people are, and I'm not clicking, and I'm just being, you know, I've got my head in the sand, and it actually is like a valuable
place. Grandpa. Everyone's buying cell phone service via a sponsored link.
Yeah.
The biggest like propaganda I've seen recently is I was watching a new Lifetime lesbian thriller starring Chrishell of Selling Sunset, and there was like crazy like Israeli army propaganda that was also that then right after that played a Bounty paper towel ad, and I was like, this is kind of what I was not expecting from the ads of a Lifetime film.
And not only that, but it worked. You signed
up
for the IDF.
I joined.
Yeah.
You joined the IDF? Amazing.
Bounty paper towel. Perfect for wiping up just anything.
Anything.
Any
cleanups.
Yeah.
You know? Doesn't matter where they came from.
Yeah, to your point, I've not even heard of people really successfully like buying, you know, a product being advertised on Twitter and converting into a sale. And yet Apple's ad money alone totaled approximately $100 million in 2022.
Yeah.
Which,
wow.
So that's a lot to be paused. to put on pause.
They couldn't spend that on like making the phones work better.
Or they don't want to make the phones work better. They want us to just keep on buying bad phones.
No, yeah. Right. That, I mean, but that's the kind of advertising, right? That's like, it's not like you're supposed to like see the ad and buy it. You're just supposed to like have this pervasive sense that everyone's using an iPhone.
You're just supposed to know that Apple, it controls your life. And they're unavoidable. Right. It's just this.
And enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know.
I love my overlord.
I mean, I guess it makes me think how Steven's mother bought an electric Mustang because she hates Elon so much.
Oh, right. She didn't want to buy a Tesla. Yeah. No, I mean, once, you know, he's losing the boomer liberals, he's losing Apple, he's going to lose it all. I mean, I will say, I don't think Elon ever purchased Twitter as like a financial. It was always supposed to be like financially unprofitable, right? And Twitter has always been like not profitable, right? I mean, I just feel like the whole point of Twitter is it's like, you know, it's a public forum, it's a place to talk. It's like, it's never going to really make anyone a lot of money. Yeah. And he bought it as a vanity project and, you know, it remains that way. You know, and it was
his
already
vanity project has like turned his brand and all of like so much of his wealth was based on his brand. And he's just like fucking turned it so toxic and just shit all over it.
Right. It's only helped him make him look like a 1980s movie creepy computer villain, which is like his vibe.
Yeah.
But like not that smart. Usually those people were like magic and like smart and could solve everything with computers. And like he seems kind of like a fuck up at this point.
Yeah.
Did you guys even think about covering, like, is that the sort of celebrity, like, does he count as a celebrity? Would you cover the Walter Isaacson, Elon Musk book?
Well, we're a literary criticism pod. So we, and we use books as a way to talk about the author. So if we did that book, if we did an episode on Walter Isaacson, we might do that book. But we wouldn't do, but it would have to be something Elon wrote. Yeah. So we could maybe do a whole book on, you know, an episode on an Elon tweet or something, or an Elon tweet thread. That could be interesting. That could count as a book.
We could do his deposition.
Yeah.
I can't wait, because eventually he's going to have a autobiography ghostwritten, and it is going to be the most insane thing.
So epic. Shit. Oh, yeah, insane, sorry. What, is there a book that you guys reviewed where you were like, holy shit, like, Nancy Kerrigan is the great, like, literary voice of our time, and we just didn't know, we didn't realize it? Or is there somebody who, like, was just unexpectedly a great writer, or, like, just had, like, really poignant moments?
Definitely wasn't Nancy Kerrigan.
I would not have expected that.
That book was written for a 9-year-old. I will
say, you know, an underrated actress, but a vulnerable great comedian, is the actress of Desperate Housewives, Terry Hatcher. Mm. Her book was so fun, so funny, so real, so vulnerable in a way that, you know, some celebrities aren't ready to write about themselves in that way. So.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to give it up to Terry Hatcher.
Yeah, Terry Hatcher's was super revealing. I mean, I do tend to think some of the better books are just good because they have good ghostwriters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Andre Agassi's book and Prince Harry's book are both ghostwritten by this guy, J.R. Moringer, who's a great writer. And it's like, Prince Harry is a completely unsympathetic character, but the writing is, it's occasionally quite gripping, you know?
Really well done, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you read the New Yorker article by him about writing the Prince Harry book?
I want to say I did. And then it was, and it
let's
was all
just
like,
pretend you did. It's really good.
It was a while back.
Wait, at this point, does that mean y'all have like a list of your favorite ghostwriters?
I mean, kind of.
I guess. I mean, usually the ghostwriter is not that prominent. I mean, you know, the whole, you know, emphasis on ghost.
Sure.
Well, because I feel like two schools. There's the memoir that will be like, you know, someone with like Louisa Farrenson, and you're like, okay, and they're putting the ghostwriter out there, or it will just be like Demi Moore, but it turns out the Demi Moore book was by I'm blanking on her name,
Ariel Levy
and that book was like so well written. My favorite ghostwriter was, we did Demi Lovato's mother's memoir, and hers was ghostwritten by this woman. And I went to her website, and like all of her other credits were just from like a local interior design magazine in Pennsylvania.
Fuck yes. Yeah,
it's
that's
like,
the
get
dream.
That gig. Yeah.
She shot for the moon on that one.
I'm never stopped trying.
Yeah.
And she was really good. She was.
No, but I just loved her resume.
It's just her friend from down the street who was like, yeah.
I mean, that book was insane because the whole time you're reading it, you're just like, this is Demi Lovato's mom. And you're, and just like every page, you're like, okay, so you really thought like we needed to know this, like what it was like raising the other daughters.
Right.
Yeah.
Other Lovato.
The other Lovato. She focuses mainly on that.
Yeah, there's a whole handful.
But overall, do you have your favorite just book in general, like the one that you recommend to people when they're like, okay, this is what your podcast is about, like what's the one that I should read that like nobody
well ideally read? You would listen to the podcast and then you wouldn't have to read anything.
Right, there you go.
Hold on. So, I'm intrigued by not reading.
You know, that's what we really try to impart to our listeners. Stop spending money at Barnes & Noble. Cut up your Barnes & Noble card, okay? All you got to do is listen to
our
podcast.
The interest rate on Barnes & Noble credit cards are crazy.
Dude, it's insane. It's like 30%. They're nickel and diming you over there. Barnes & Noble are like nickel and dime.
Yeah.
It's awful. But I would say I my favorite books are... I tend to like either the ones that are super sassy and have a ton of like tea and dirt in them. So I always say Janice Dickinson is a real fun one for that. You know, there's just tons of drugs and sex and celebrities and, you know, she's stealing a car from the Pope and then like fucking Antonio Ben or like Liam Neeson on a beach. And she is telling you how big his dick is. Like that's
pretty big,
really
right?
Fun. Oh, she describes it as an Evian bottle.
Wow.
Which is something I will never stop thinking about.
Like the teardrop one? Like maybe it... Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's very weirdly shaped also, yeah.
Yeah.
It's huge. The teardrop end.
Yeah, troubling.
Yeah. And then also in that category, we put Mike Lindell, the My Pillow guy, who has a self-published memoir, which is just incredible. And it's just, again, it's just... He's always like blowing an eight ball of coke while he's being chased by the cops and then like almost getting murdered in Mexico before he's down $40,000 in Vegas and then like doing crack for a week and never leaving a house. Like it's really insane.
And that one feels very I feel like my favorites are the ones that really both those like don't feel ghostwritten. It feels like my favorite scene from a film is the 1956 film Auntie Mame with Rosalind Russell. And it's like about this fabulous woman and finally like her son like hires like a secretary to write her memoirs. And it's just her walking around her huge apartment as like a nerdy woman types. And like that is how I feel like my favorite books get written. A rich person walking around talking as someone it down.
Just like scribbling it down busily. Yeah,
that's exactly right. Like the best celebrity memoirs are essentially like the ghostwriter is more of a copy editor / slight organizer of whatever is coming out of their mouth.
Who's afraid for their life kind of the entire time. It's like there's some severe Sunset Boulevard vibes involved.
Yes.
Where they're like, this person might kill me at the end of this. And that's how you know it's a good celebrity memoir. Amazing.
There's also the ones I'll say where just the person themselves is a writer. And so then those are good. Like Nora Ephron or like Tina Brown, where it's just like, oh, they're just like a fabulous New York lady who has like, who just has an arch turn of phrase. And they're, you know,
just been saving up these burns for like 40 years.
Exactly.
Like using them at cocktail parties. And now they're like,
no. Tina Brown will just be like, Kissinger looked terrible.
She wrote that on a napkin, like, you know, that she found in like an old desk. And she's like, exactly.
Right.
I forgot about this. Kissinger looked terrible.
Kissinger looked terrible. Amazing. Can picture Kissinger in the mirror before he leaves. Before he leaves, just being like, I look like shit. Damn it.
Have to go bomb a country now.
They didn't moisturize back then. They didn't know about
it. Too real.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about JFK.
Oh, great.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends. People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And today is, of course, the 60th anniversary of the JFK assassination. I'm sure you guys knew that. You've been preparing. Yeah. And you have your little party scheduled.
I have a piñata that you shoot, actually. I don't know what you guys do.
Yeah. I'm renting a Cadillac tonight to do a drive throughout my neighborhood. Steven's going to shoot me.
I'm going to shoot you. I'm making my famous pillbox hat pie for Thanksgiving.
Little pink.
Yeah.
I love it. Pie. I just sit in the upper window and throw firecrackers out of it so that, you know, people get scared.
Thank God we're talking about JFK, just as a mass hole, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I could just talk about
we
him.
We love JFK.
We love JFK.
Only president.
First Catholic president.
That's right.
Praise be.
So I hear it's not safe in Dallas for Catholics, according to that Hold Steady lyric. But yeah, so there's a lot of events going on in Dallas to commemorate it. And they're kind of like so the movie theater where Lee Harvey Oswald was captured will be playing the actual double feature that was playing when he snuck into the theater.
Whoa. I'm like literally booking tickets. This sounds so fun.
I have been to that theater before. I
really
was like visiting a friend in Dallas and like we're like, fuck it, let's go see a movie. And then she was like, we like get in. She's like, you know, this is where Lee Harvey Oswald hung out, and we watched Paris Dispatch, and it was only okay.
Paris Dispatch. I don't even know that one.
Or is that the Wes Anderson? Was it not, what's it fucking called?
Oh,
the French Dispatch.
French Dispatch. Yes, my bad. Yeah,
they didn't get so specific.
And that's actually Wes Anderson films were playing when JFK died.
I know.
A lot of people don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. Have you guys ever been to Dallas? Like, have you ever been to Dealey Plaza? Or
no.
No.
I feel like, so, like, I have not, yeah, been to Dallas, but I feel like, yeah, growing up in Mass, like, you can't, you know, turn right, left without some JFK-ness, you know, thrift stores or, you know, people talking about when he died or, like, plates with his face on it. Like, it's a...
Plates from the thrift store.
Yeah, right. It's like JFK is deep.
Yeah.
In the culture, and it worked. I mean, he's one of my style icons, and I feel like I've always been, like, obsessed with, like, you know, him and Sinatra and Marilyn Monroe and how, like, what cool guys they all were.
But what about the death, Lily? Did that fascinate you in the same way?
The death?
The assassination?
Well, okay, so it's
Lee
so
Harvey
interesting
Oswald,
you asked me that.
Jack Ruby, you know, it was quite a tumultuous time. For America in the 60s.
I wanted to. This is very me. I was like, as a kid, like a kind of 13-year-old, I was like, I want to get into conspiracy JFK stuff.
Mm.
And that was like on my list of to-dos as a teen. But I never fully kind of went there. But I was like, this is something I could have fun with.
Mm. Never too late.
It's true. I think that is more of an older activity.
Oh, that's, yes. And I guess this is, like, if you're going to get into conspiracies now, this is, like, quaint at this point.
Right. It's such a retro, like, oh, what a cute conspiracy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's so many more places you could go.
Like, Dallas has a weird, weird relationship to it. Like, I don't know. When Kennedy was, like, traveling to Dallas, people were like, this is dangerous. People in Dallas fucking hate this guy. Like, he better be careful, like, before. It was, like, it was not seen as, like, a safe move. And then, like, the museum, the person who owned the book depository, like, took the window that Lee Harvey Oswald shot him from out of the side
allegedly
of the book depository and put it in his house. Yeah. And put it in his house as, like, a trophy. Like, for years.
You know?
Fame. He didn't install, like, yeah, just, like, on a table. Window.
Yeah, I don't know if he like had it installed design. Or like how he had it, but yeah, it was like a thing that he was like, yeah, we did it, guys. And I don't know. There's a good book about the Bush family that talks about how like George H.W. Bush was in Dallas at the time and was like one of the first people the CIA called like after he was assassinated, but he was not like actually a CIA agent. He was not like nominally a CIA agent at that time. That's the only CIA connection that George H.W. Bush had before they made him the head of the CIA. Like, so it's like very, people were like, wait, why is he becoming the head of the CIA? He has nothing to do with the CIA. And they're like, nothing that you know of to do with the CIA. But he was literally the first person we called when Kennedy was assassinated. And there's just like all, you know, and that's Bush country down there in Texas. And so
what the theory
like
is that
this weird
is that they did it, that they called him and they were like, we did it, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and he's just like,
they just called him and
you.
Said, way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice shot.
Nice shot. Nice shot, H. Yeah.
How like the 20th century is just some Hatfield and McCoy's shit. And when you go to this level, it's just like a like family feuds. Yeah.
I know. It's like we don't have, no one gets like, you know, classically assassinated anymore like they used to.
Yeah.
I know. No, people always say we live in a crazy time. And it's like, honey, let me tell you about a little decade called the 60s. Okay. Political leaders are getting assassinated left and right. And we miss that like we miss kidnapping. Is that right, Lily?
No, it's kidnapping. It's, you know, it's everyone's, you it's when men wore hats to assassinate, you know?
Thank you.
He dressed up.
Mm-hmm. And Jack Ruby wore a hat when he shot Lee Harvey Oswald, wasn't he? And now I'm just making, this is apocryphal, but it could be true.
If he wasn't wearing a hat when he assassinated him, he had just taken it off.
Exactly.
Because a woman was there.
Yeah.
Right.
He was just like, please.
Good day. Good day to you.
Good day.
And then under the hat is a little gun, maybe. That would be nice. Hello.
I do think that, you know, I guess the hot take is people love celebrity and that's a famous thing that happens, so they'll be obsessed with it forever. I mean, how many times was there like a huge prominent assassination like at a public place that we can all go to? And like there's that great Erykah Badu music video where she's walking naked through Dallas and she's taking off all her clothes. Window yes. Seat is the song. And then she gets right to the point where JFK was assassinated and she is now completely nude. And her back is facing the camera the whole time. It's like all one shot. But it's beautiful.
That is art.
It's art. It literally is art.
Yeah. The pictures that the families take in a like replica, like there's a family activity you can do where you drive around in a Lincoln convertible and recreate the final moments of Kennedy's life. And there's like all these pictures of like families just like
what?
Cheesing at like looking back behind like towards where the shots came from, like smiling. There's like one with like a 5-year-old girl like sitting in the Kennedy spot. It's like what the fuck is that? That's Thirty Rock shit. That's fun.
I mean, listen, I don't think anyone should kill any members of their family, but if you're gonna, this would be one of the funnier ways to have
it. That would be hilarious. You assassinate grandma while she's riding the back of this JFK experience.
Yeah. Like, it would be so weird. It'd be so hard to explain to people.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. When are
does feel, what you were saying, though, very like Dallas, where I feel like it's much more like a Dallas to recreate, like, yeah, like kind of this crazy cowboy shoot 'em up scenario. Whereas Massachusetts is just like, let's praise, think of him on a boat.
Yeah.
Like, no one's driving around in that car.
Well,
like,
he wasn't assassinated in Massachusetts.
I know, so but I'm saying no one's wanting to kind of even really at a museum have that experience go on.
No, it does imply a somewhat of a disrespect for the dead.
Yeah, which we do not do in Massachusetts.
Do you think in 50 years we'll be doing like a 9/11 experiences where you can get in a plane that just does a flyby of Ground Zero?
They have an X on the ground where he was when he was shot, and tourists like run out to the X and like give a little thumbs up while like standing next to the X and holding up traffic, presumably.
Oh my God.
So that's cool.
Wow.
And classy. Super and a good way to
real classy
honor.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Dallas is a weird city. I will just say the like food was not kind of as like Texas amazing as I'd hoped.
Shots fired.
I was really hoping for some, you know, big, I don't know, brisket or whatever the fuck they're supposed to do down there. It was fine, but
you weren't impressed, did you, by the BBQ?
I was more impressed by Whataburger, which admittedly is amazing and will fucking kill you so fast. But it was very good.
What is that one of those where it's like a smash burger where it's like flat, or is it like really large?
It was kind of normal, but it was just like so. They must put butter on it or something. It's like, you know, just fast food burger. I ate one in a rental car like 1 second out of the airport, and it was so good.
That's such a beautiful experience. Rental car.
Yeah.
Regional fast food.
Grease all over the fucking like steering wheel. It's not my car. Yeah.
Not your car.
Just for the record, I would also do that in my car, but.
Right. You're like, oh no, my car's a sanctuary.
your Elantra is just a greased up hog.
That's right. That's what I call it.
Well, I wasn't planning a trip to Dallas, but this honestly sounds kind of insane, so I might now.
We need
kind of
to
have
do
to
the JFK assassination experience.
There's like a little cottage industry of like little conspiracy theorists. Like there are people who want to talk to you about the JFK assassination, just like kind of roaming the streets around where it happened. The museum runs a gallery and event space on the 7th floor, but they like try and keep it classy. They're like not available for weddings or bar and bat mitzvah celebrations. And guests are asked not to bring food or drinks downstairs to the assassination exhibition.
Sorry, there's like in the 6th floor of the book depository?
Yes, where Oswald allegedly shot from.
You know, everybody has a price. I bet for a few mil, you could get a wedding in there.
Right.
I mean, like all things, the key is just don't tell them you're having a wedding. Just kind of do it.
Ask for forgiveness, not permission.
I'm having, they didn't say retirement party. I'm having a retirement party where JFK was assassinated. I'm already wanting the merch. I rode the car that JFK was assassinated in, and all I got was this t-shirt.
Like, banquet is it appropriate to be like, this is where they shot his ass from? Like, I guess like a Republican convention or some sort.
Any Republican thing is probably pretty good down there. I'm surprised they don't have a thing where you can like target shoot down to the X from the book depository.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, see if you can get the shot.
Yeah. That would be the most Texas thing possible. Yeah. It's just like, here's your gun. Here's one bullet. I guess three bullets. Right. I don't remember how many bullets it was.
And it's Carnival. They're like, three shots for $5. Three shots for $5.
Yeah. And you win a big JFK like stuffed animal.
it's like a normal, if you get the shot, you get the like head blown off one, and if you don't, you just get a normal.
You just get him like kind of holding his neck. It's like, yeah, for his,
like a New World Order pin. I don't remember what they thought was happening. I need to be educated by these people.
Years ago, I read the book called Reclaiming History by Vincent Bugliosi, who also wrote Helter Skelter about the Manson murders. But it's a door stopper. It's an extremely thick tome, but he basically debunks every possible conspiracy theory about the JFK assassination. And it did kind of convince me. And I was kind of like, okay, well, you spent a long time researching this. I guess it was, just Lee.
It would be so boring to write that book if it weren't true. Like, imagine making a boring thing that was fake. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a book called Mortal Error, The Shot That Killed JFK by Bonner Menninger that I highly recommend. It's the one that I find, it's the conspiracy theory I find most convincing. And it's the one where the first shot came from Oswald and then the second shot came from a Secret Service agent freaking out and like accidentally.
Oh, I think that's the one that in my early research I believed in.
Yeah, because
you're
like,
just like, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, so Secret much Service, can always FBI, be chalked CIA. Up to human error and incompetence. You know, so many world events are just incompetence.
Yeah, they basically stopped. It was a big time whoopsie. But that's why the shots like look different. The first one just like passed through them cleanly because it came from Oswald's gun. And then the second one came from like one of these like CIA, you know, Secret Service rather, like M14s that have like the rounds that are spinning so fast they just like destroy whatever they hit. And so that's,
we play Fortnite, we know, we all know what you're talking
we
about.
We all know what happened. Yeah.
Call of Duty.
Do you guys think you have what it takes to be a Secret Service agent?
No, I get so distracted by boredom. Like, I would need to be able to be listening to podcasts, which I don't think you're allowed to do.
Yeah. Well, they have the earpieces always, so I'm sure
they would be
them...
so mad if they found out I was listening to your podcast while I was supposed to be protecting the president.
Oh, shit.
And I would like laugh and they'd be like, what the fuck is going on? You're like,
I don't know. Biden said something hilarious. That's what's going on.
And they're just like, I don't know if I buy that, babe.
Yeah.
No, because I think so much of it is waiting around.
Yeah.
Yes.
In that, the main job, according to popular media, is getting shot. I guess I could do that.
Yeah. you think you take a bullet like a champ?
You're in for that.
I'm not like enthusiastic about it, but I could do it.
Something I've never understood about the whole like, you know, hypothetical of taking a bullet for the principal, for the person you're guarding, is I'm kind of like, if you have time to jump in front of the bullet,
just push him out of the way.
Do we not have time for to push him out of the way? It just seems like, what's going on here?
A bullet. Yeah. It seems like they want you to take the bullet more than actually doing your job.
It's a power trip. The president just wants to just to know that somebody's willing to do that for him. Presidents are needy, you guys. That's one thing that we've all learned, right?
Yeah.
How about you guys? Do you think you'd be able to do it?
Oh, God, no. I'd be bored.
I'm not saying I'd be good at it, but honestly, like, I think I could just, like, walk around and like wear a suit and then like run slowly.
No,
because like they're always like not keeping up and everything. And like
that part you would nail that, like that kind of jog in a suit and then just stopping.
I think and then like talking to your peers and being like, okay, Duke is one of our codes where it'd be like Duke to the left.
That would be fun. Like it was fun when people are entering and exiting buildings. That part is great, but all the rest of it is just like, I don't know.
Wait, are you talking about like peering outside the building? Like stick your head out, peer both ways, and then report clear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be doing cool. a lot of, who's this guy? Who's this guy?
Left, like, right, sunglasses, clear.
And then Duke is entering Olive Garden. You know, like, that's fun.
I think, not that I could do it well, but I could do any job that requires carrying a gun as well as most people who do that job.
Yeah.
Because they mostly do it incredibly badly.
Exactly. And I could definitely do that.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, because I just wouldn't use the gun. So that's better
I
than
totally maybe. Agree. But yeah, like, all cops are bad at it, and like they're all like lazy and weird. And I feel like I was at the arcade recently, and I got the top score on a shooting game in the whole on the machine, and I was like, oh, actually, I've insanely accurate, like, shooting.
Cut to them like getting prospective CIA members from arcades. They tap you.
Finally.
I could also, you could wear those sunglasses they sell at party stores that have mirrors on the side.
Mm-hmm. Love those.
So you can see
behind
you.
Oh, not the wraparound. Yeah, yeah.
No.
Rear the dark viper of sunglasses.
Yeah. Wraparound Oakleys? Mirrored Oakleys, though? So it's like a 360 behind your head view?
You see directly behind you?
Yeah. It's like an IMAX screen that you're inside of.
All right. Well, Stephen and Lily, it's been such a pleasure having you guys on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Oh, God, it's been a pleasure to be on here talking about JFK, my favorite subject. Well, you can follow our podcast and listen to it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, Celebrity Book Club with Stephen and Lily. And we're on Instagram at
or
CBC.
Wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah.
Stitcher, Luminary,
we are fellow iHeart Sisters Harmony, with you guys.
But yeah, and when you Google, just make sure you look for Celebrity Book Club with Stephen and Lily. That's crucial.
There's there are other others. Celebrity book clubs?
Yeah.
Get them out of here. Those are the bad ones.
I know, it's crazy.
You said it,
you
not
said
us.
It, not us.
And follow us on X and Twitter.
Follow us on CBC
The Pod.
If you're a Nazi, follow them on X.
Re-X us, please.
Is there a work of media that you guys have been enjoying besides your own podcast?
I just started... this probably doesn't need any more advertisement, but I just started the Nathan Fielder Emma Stone show, and I'm obsessed with
it. I just started that too. I just watched the first episode. I'm obsessed with it. It's so good.
It's so good. They play like haunted HGTV hosts.
Yeah. How are you guys watching that? Are you like Paramount Plus? Is that...
My girlfriend subscribes to Showtime so she could watch the Nixium doc, and now... You know, classic, you never unsubscribe to stuff. Paying so now off. I'm benefiting by watching this.
I'm watching it on Hulu, my boyfriend's friend's Hulu. And I guess they have the Showtime kind of add-on. I don't know who paid for it or when, but I'm making use of it.
Presumably someone has. And that's why the TV industry is doing fine.
Yes.
That's right. Just one person with a subscription to every service. Amazing. Andrew, where can people find you? What's the work of media you've been enjoying?
Just Yo, Is This Racist is my podcast, my normal podcast. And I also recently, I guess there'll be, this episode will be the final episode of my friend Cody Ziegler and I did a mini series for Earwolf Presents called, they shouldn't have let us name it this, but it is called Do You Understand the Words That Are Coming Out of Our Mouths? A series where we watch the Rush Hour movies. And it was, they shouldn't have let us do that. And a piece of media, this is going to be a movie that a friend of mine made that is going to be out in, I believe, release stateside, I want to say in December-ish at Alamo Drafthouses, I believe, called Raging Grace. It won South by Southwest recently, and it's really good. It's like a kind of a
thriller about an undocumented Filipina lady in London that is, you know, it's an indie, but it is fucking harrowing and pretty rad.
Nice. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. Tweet I've been enjoying. Carter Hambly tweeted, "I hate how quietly iPhones die at 5%. It should start verbally begging for its life." I think that's a good idea. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song we think you might enjoy. Super producer Justin, is there a song that you think people should go check out?
Yeah, if you want to feel like you're drifting away next to an African waterfall while you're cooking your entrees or whipping up them sides this holiday season, throw on this track called Blue Nile by Mulatu Astatke, the legendary Ethiopian composer, jazz musician, multi-instrumentalist. This also features the Heliocentrics, and it's just a really nice, mellow, trippy, fun, psychedelic vibe. So yeah, this is Blue Nile by Mulatu Astatke and the Heliocentrics, and you can find that song in the footnotes.
Footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. We will talk to y'all then. Bye. Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.